This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection.
It is Bedlam at the bank as Bryce Harper has put the Phillies on top.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Start spreading the news. The Houston Astros break out the Bruins in the Bronx.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
He's got him. Touchdown. Brees Hall.
Earlier on the show, host of the Greenlight Podcast, two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Long, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, coming up, Patriots linebacker Matthew Judon, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air here on Roku, the Roku channel 210. We also say hello to those listening to us on Sirius XM, the terrestrial radio affiliates that are smart enough to have the Rich Eisen Show coast to coast. We say hello to those listening to us on the Odyssey app. There's our YouTube page for anything that you may miss. We put much of our show there on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We re-air on the Roku channel, channel 210. As soon as this show is over, re-air over and over and over again till we're back on live on tomorrow's show. We also have the Rich Eisen Show collection, our archives, also sitting on the Roku channel as well. So our videos on demand from today's program. If you missed anything from hour number one with our usual spot with Chris Long, the two-time Super Bowl champ and Greenlight podcast host, or Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. If you missed any of that, don't worry. We're going to start re-airing right here on the Roku channel. And there's our podcast version of the show as well, all 3 hours where the podcast can be acquired in the Cumulus podcast world, Apple and Spotify and so much more. Also Audible. We're thrilled to be on Audible. Check it out and subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We have lots of time in this hour to take your phone calls. Haven't even hit the World Series being set between the Astros and the Phillies. We'll do that this hour. We'll get your opinions at 844-204-RICH. Matt Judon of the New England Patriots will join us in advance of tonight's game between the Bears as well and the Patriots in New England. 844-204-RICH is that number to dial. Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo in their spots.
What up, Rich?
TJ Jefferson in your spot. Good to see you, sir. And so when the season came out, when the schedule came out and the season was beginning, we always talk about those revenge games, right? When there will be revenge. When there might be revenge, and Wentz going back to Philadelphia was one of them, right? One of those games. And even just if you want to stir anything up, how about Wentz going back to Indianapolis where there was a door and it hit him on the butt on the way out and it couldn't happen fast enough for the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, when Wentz was sent packing, there was a lot of that last year was unacceptable and a lot of blame placed at the feet of one Carson Wentz. Goes to D.C., and we all know he has now been placed on injured reserve. He broke the ring finger of his throwing hand on a helmet in the win over the Chicago Bears. So he's not going to make the game against the Eagles. It'll be Taylor Heinicke doing that, just as Taylor Heinicke will get the start in Indianapolis next week. So that whole Carson Wentz going to Indianapolis to take on Matt Ryan, the man who was acquired, that was not going to happen the minute that Wentz got hurt. And now Matt Ryan got hurt apparently yesterday. Grade 2 shoulder separation. So moments ago, the Indianapolis Colts announced it's going to be Sam Ehlinger getting the start. And Frank Reich actually just said Matt Ryan is out for the rest of the season.
What? Wait, what?
Wow.
Wow. Did not know that.
It's Sam Ehlinger for the rest of the season.
Yeah, there it is.
He said right now the move is for Sam to be the starter the rest of the season. So the question is it a shoulder separation plus separating from this cycle of taking somebody else's veteran quarterback and trying to make it work here in Indianapolis? We all know Phillip Rivers was that first attempt. And then Carson Wentz was their second attempt, and I guess three strikes, you're out. Matt Ryan, they saw enough of him, and now he's hurt enough that they want to see what they have in the sixth round selection out of Texas from last year's draft. All right, it's Bevo time in Indianapolis. And I can only hope for Sam that the offensive line protects him, or he can protect himself better than Matt Ryan, because we all know Jonathan Taylor missed the first games of his life. Mm-hmm. He didn't miss games in high school. He didn't miss games in Wisconsin. He missed two games this year. Finally came back this past week. Wasn't enough. And now Ryan, he's hurt. And Frank Reich, I guess, is just taking the opportunity to say, let's see what we've got in Sam.
Yeah, Matt Ryan has taken 24 sacks. That's the most in the NFL. 11 fumbles, the most in the NFL. 9 interceptions, most in the NFL.
And one's got to think, is this it for Matt Ryan, period? Who will raise their hand and say, we'll take Matt Ryan? How old is he? 37, 38? Who will take Matt Ryan?
Yeah, 37.
At age 38 next year. And we'll see if we can protect him better and win football games with him in his dotage. Although Ellinger could get hurt, and we'll see if Ryan comes back. You never know when he's healthy.
That was after Albert Breer, our buddy, reported this morning in his MMQB that there are scouts who think Matt Ryan's arm is shot, quote unquote.
Well, Frank Reich and Chris Ballard and the rest of that front office would see that too. So it looks like the Colts might have to go back to the drawing board if this kid is not.
They can still win this division. I mean, they're right there.
Well, the problem for them is that they just got swept by the Titans.
Yeah, they're two.
The Titans are now, I mean, right. The scheduling folks at the NFL decided to put the Colts and the Titans twice in the first 7 weeks of the season. And right now, Indianapolis is sitting there in the middle of the first round. They're 16th in the draft order right now, but they're still in it. I mean, they're 3-3-1 there. And this is a, you know, conference that is wide open.
Tough schedule, though, down the way for Indianapolis, just looking at it right now. You mentioned home for the Commanders, and they're at New England, at the Raiders, home for the Eagles and Steelers, at Cowboys, at Vikings. Very tough schedule.
Man. Man, oh, man, oh, man. So it'll be Sam Ellinger in his first start for the Colts. So I guess the biggest matchup this weekend suddenly is Ursay versus Snyder. And Snyder's advanced team is getting the Heisman, apparently, from the Colts, right? This is a great pool we have here at Lucas Oil. There's a pond outside for you. Yeah. Do you think, is Snyder going to have a tester? Test his the dessert from the dessert cart that comes around?
I would recommend.
Taste tester?
I would recommend bringing your own, maybe. Bring a box lunch, PBJ, something like that for Daniel.
We have another flu game type situation, maybe?
Florio just tweeted out this question. Kind of good debate here. Has one retirement ever screwed up a franchise as much as Andrew Luck's?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Dang.
Andrew Luck retiring.
Do you think they call Andrew Luck?
Yeah. He's not walking through that door. He already talked to David Shaw about that a few weeks ago.
I know, he's not.
I mean, Jacoby Brissett didn't work out, right? And then they tried Phillip. Then they tried Wentz.
Phillip had a really good year, though.
Phillip took him to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right. He was good.
Yeah, but that Hail Mary landed about 30 yards shy of the end zone. Which is why he's coaching in Alabama right now.
True.
Wow. So, how about them apples? New starting quarterback in the NFL. And it's in Indianapolis.
Damn.
Rest of the season. How about that, too? They're just going to live and ride or die with him. And 3-3-1, you take a look at the conference right here. You've got the Jets at 5-2, the best record of any team that's not leading a division. And then the Dolphins and Chargers and Bengals all at 4-3. Colts right behind them. Patriots are going to, looks like they're going to pass them by at 4-3 tonight. But they're still in that mix. Still in the mix. And good luck to him. I hope the kid's good. That would be fun.
Too.
That would be a fun development.
I think he can play. DJ tweeted out, looks like going to be a lot of RPOs in the offense. Because that's kind of his specialty at Texas was you know.
And what's Frank Reich's specialty that he brought from Philadelphia?
Same type of deal. Spocheck just tweeted out the Colts are on the hook for $25 million guaranteed this year for Matt Ryan and $12 million next year.
Yeah. That sounds like a lot, but I guess in the grand scheme of things, that's a lot for dead money of somebody that's not on your team.
A lot for dead money, yeah.
I know. Yeah. You know, when the cap is suddenly going up and up and up, but it still leaves a mark. Elliot in Kansas, let's take your phone call here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Elliot?
Hang on, Rich. I don't want to get Bluetooth. One second.
Okay, here we go, Elliot.
Wow. Hey, I remembered.
What's going on? Oh, my God. You want to put him back on hold for a second? Are you there?
No, we're good.
You there, Elliot? Yep. Okay, what do you got?
Well, I don't want to say you're right, but you lone wolfed Seahawks last night.
I did.
Yesterday.
I did. I sensed that the Chargers were going to lose that game. Seahawks are a good team, man. It's time we pay them the respect.
Last time I called, I talked about the starting rookie tackles. Put those rookie corners. Kenneth Walker, you already talked enough about him. Tariq Woolen, we might win the Offensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Rookie of the Year. The Jets had a chance. Yeah. Pretty tall.
No.
Sorry about that. But.
I hear you, and thanks for the call, Elliot. You're not wrong, man. That's Elliot in Kansas right there. He's a 12 right there in the nation's heartland. With Breece Hall out, I was talking about with Coop yesterday, like who has a shot to be Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Kenneth Walker.
Kenneth Walker seems to have gotten off on a nice start as his
role. I think he's now the betting starter. Favorite, actually.
I mean, Chris Olave has had some moments, but his team is 2-5. The Seahawks have got a running game with Walker. The passing game appears that, you know, you still got Lockett, and hopefully DK comes back soon. The tight ends are always guys that you know are sitting on your waiver wire but get first downs when they need it in real life. And Geno's at the controls. And Tariq Woolen, a fourth-round pick out of UTEP, he is crushing it on the back end. And look who's leading the division in the NFC West.
That's crazy, man.
Through seven games. It is Seattle. And we had Geno Smith on before the Monday night opener against Denver and the return of Russ. And he's just like, don't call this a comeback story. I've been around. You know, and basically his path, we saw he was drafted by the ground and pound Jets just when Rex Ryan was losing interest in being a coach of the entire team, not paying attention on offense. You know, and Geno was drafted kind of as an afterthought after it looked like, you know, we weren't going to get anything out of Sanchez and Tebow. God, what a mess. What a mess. Let me hear more from him about the Jets situation right now on ESPN. Good God.
Breathe, Rich. Breathe.
At any rate. And then he goes to a Giants team behind Eli, and Ben McAdoo breaks up Eli's start streak for him, throws him out there. You go there. And it looks like he's finally in a spot where he's respected and liked and surrounded. He's going to be talking about any sort of comeback role, right? He could be a comeback player of the year. What's he coming back from? Being benched?
And not playing.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And he looks terrific. He's zipping it around, and Pete's jumping around, chomping gum.
It's wild, man.
Chomping gum like he's got wild. Reggie Bush out there in the Pac-10. This is Pete yesterday after leaving the home of the Chargers, a.k.a. home of the Rams as well, as the leader of the division through 7 weeks.
You guys were pumped up, or you were pumped up about being tied for first place last week. Now you're in sole possession right now.
Nobody told me that before we started. The meeting's in there. I would have been going nuts about that. That's fun, too. Yeah, that's good. 7 weeks in. Look where we are.
Those Carroll King. Talk about the points of the...
Who'd have thunk it? Oh, he's loving this. This whole business of, you know what? Can I get, what were they really thinking, Mike Del Tufo? I don't mean to take you away from whatever banking you're doing on your phone during the show. I don't mean to take you away from whatever you were doing. But can I get, what were they really thinking here, please?
What were they really thinking?
Because, you know, Pete's like, I didn't know that before. They told me before the meeting. Yeah, he also didn't know that the Niners had just, you know, lost in San Francisco. I don't know if he's scoreboard watching. Okay. But yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know. They kind of told me right beforehand. You know what he's thinking? Here's what Pete's like saying. How are we cooking now? Anybody want to tell me how we're cooking now? Tell me how he's cooking. Tell me. Oh, yes.
You think so?
Oh, yes.
But he was
How are we cooking? Wow. How are we cooking? Is Gino cooking enough? Everybody fine with the way I'm allowing Gino to cook? Everybody fine with the way we're cooking around here now?
Dang.
Are we good? Are you fine with it? Are you fine with it? Oh, wait. All those people that thought I was done as a coach in the NFL? Oh, yeah. I'm now 70. Everybody want to tell me about how I was done and how the owners here around here are wondering if I should be done? Anybody want to talk about how I'm cooked? How are we cooking? Am I cooked? Are we cooking fine enough for your liking? How's the Danger Russ sandwich on the menu?
It got pulled from the menu.
Well, actually, hold on a minute. I was told it was pulled in August, and the video that went viral has been around, and it just kind of just now went viral. Unfortunately for Russ, the timing's off. This is what I was told.
Oh, dang. Okay.
But how's the menu? How's that Denver menu tasting? Oh, he wants to say that. Can we say that soundbite once again? Just the way he's kind of biting the words at the end. Please show it to me one more time. Just watch and you tell me he's not thinking this. Please hit it. Please.
You guys were pumped up, or you were pumped up about being tied for first place last week. Now you're in sole possession right now.
Nobody told me that before we started. The meeting's in there. I would have been going nuts about that. That's fun, too. Yeah, that's good. 7 weeks in. Look where we are.
Those Carol King. Talk about the points of the...
Who'd have thunk it? Do you see the way he's like, who'd have thunk it? Not you. Not you. Let's talk about the menu and the cooking around here now. Anybody else? You know he wants to say that.
What is he saying privately?
You know what he's saying privately? I bet you what he is saying privately is let's keep this thing going. He knows how fleeting this stuff is, man. But he's got to feel great about it. And he knows the Giants are coming in and they are... a really good football team. How about this? Is a marquee game in week 8, 6-1 New York, flying all the way out to Seattle. Late window game in week number 8 to take on the leader of the NFC West. And Pete knows while that game's going on, down in the spot he just left victorious, the Rams and the Niners are going to be beating each other up. Just as Arizona visits Minnesota. Yeah, man, they win this game, and they're still in first, and everyone else is beating each other up. And then comes Seattle going to Arizona, and then I'll see him in Germany. Achtung, baby.
You too.
Yeah. How's the cooking? Hashtag that.
You ready for some bratwurst?
Says Pete. Try the pretzel bread. I'll be here all week.
Oh, yeah. No, I had one when I was in Munich.
Oh, yeah, man.
So good.
All right, let's take a break. Matthew Judon coming up. More of your phone calls. And would you believe, you'll never believe this nugget about what's happening during the World Series. Even the NFL has a say. Just when baseball has its own floor. And then Matt Judon of the Patriots. That's all coming up. What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jaialai, spelled J-A-I-A-L-A-I. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jaialai is making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. Six-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighLieWorld.com or download the free Jaialai app in the App Store. This sport with its intensity and athleticism is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighLieWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis with a player or team required to win two sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighLieWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m. This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection. You need to know your numbers for your businesses, because if you don't, you are definitely being left behind, and you're also handicapping your own business. And you're also, by the way, behind over 31,000 businesses that know their numbers and have the confidence and clarity for their businesses they need, because they do rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system, which does give you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting, so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is NetSuite. What are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. Tony in Portland, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Tony?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. Pleasure.
Thanks for making it. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, I'm a big Bears fan, but, you know, they're going up the river with one paddle, so we'll move on. I just want to give my Blazers and Ducks some props.
There you go.
3-0, and the Lakers 0-3. And as a Blazer fan, I can empathize with your Priest Hall injury, because every time it's good here, we're always peeking around the corner for some bad news. Bo Nix for Heisman. Dan Lanning's a great coach.
He's, man. Oregon put it on UCLA. Put it on him. You know, and did you watch any of that game, Chris?
I did not.
Just hang on there, Tony. The UCLA ties the game 10 apiece. Oregon goes down, scores a touchdown, and then went onside on him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Surprised him. Totally. Awesome. Well done, man. And then the rain came, and it didn't matter. To Bo Nix, looked terrific. And then, hey, you know, Portland, Lillard is one of our favorites.
I'll be going against Damian Lillard
tonight in the fantasy. And it certainly helps to have Russ hoist one up when he has no business hoisting him up, you know, against the Blazers. That was good. So congratulations, Tony.
Thank you. At one point, Davis was out for a three, and Nurkic just turned and walked away. And
that was so disrespectful.
Yeah, I know. Did you see that? I did see that. He didn't even come out to even make it.
He kind of put his hand up like, I'm not even going to worry about this.
You know what he did? He didn't even make the reach, which is what you want when you're trying to pay. Like, I'll take part of the bill. He didn't even make the reach for his wallet.
He literally looked at him and was like, no.
And Tony, let me help you, man, for your Bears fandom. Scream the word Eberflus at the top of your lungs, and you'll feel better. Where are you right now? Literally, where are you right now?
Where am I right now?
Yes.
I am in Ridgefield, Washington, at a golf site.
So you're at a golf site right now? So you're around other people?
No, job site. A job site.
So you're around other people, though, right? You're around other people?
I'm in my van getting ready to...
All right, scream out Eberflus at the top of your lungs. And ready? Here we go. In 3, 2, 1, go.
Eberflus!
No, it's Eberflus. 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 Ready? Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Eberflus.
There you go. Well done. Thank you.
I feel so good.
Does it feel better? Does it feel better? You feel better?
I feel better.
Okay, very good. Thanks for the call. Call back anytime you want.
Rich, shout out my anti-Lakers bet. 3-0 this year.
How much are you? So you've bet against the Lakers. Are you rolling it back?
We're not rolling it back.
You should keep going. Roll it.
Well, he's not crazy.
They're not going to go 0-82.
Against the spread, right?
No, this is just straight up.
See, I don't know what the hell you're
talking
about.
I'm just betting the Lakers to lose every game.
So how much money have you made now?
Let's see.
30 a game, right?
Yeah, I'm doing it, but it's not because there's odds involved.
You up to $100 yet?
No. I'm probably at about 40.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have $20 yet?
For you?
Nice. All right, let's go to my brother-in-law, Scott. He's on the guest line. What's up, Scotty? Yeah.
Scotty.
What's on your mind, Scotty?
I'm really enjoying the Roku experience. And,
attaboy.
Happy to Mike, Brockman, and TJ.
Uncle Rich. Scott. What up, Scotty?
What's up?
I want you to think I'm calling you and Mike to troll you about a 4-0 sweep for the Yankees. That's not why I'm calling.
Why not?
I'll say, if I ever get in a bad mood, I'm going to go to my DVR and watch Boone take out Garrett Cole in favor of Lou Trevino. That was special.
Hey, Scott, what did you think of, hey, let's encourage the team by showing the biggest comeback ever against their team. That's going to really inspire the guys to come back 3-0.
It doesn't get any better than that. I was feeling felt like that was my honeymoon. That was fantastic.
My God, Scotty. What's on your mind?
Business. I'm not here to suggest that Boone should be extended for a lifetime or that the Yankees should extend Josh Donaldson for 5 years, you know, $20 million a pop. You know, it's weird, like, watching Brady, I loved Tom Brady for so many years, and he's given us so many memories, but I find myself, like, almost happy now he's not doing well. And it's weird because, like, when Pedro Martinez left and he pitched for the Mets and the Phillies, I rooted so hard for him. But I was wondering if, Chris, you kind of felt the same way a little bit.
No, he's shaking his head while you're saying that right now.
Absolutely not. I feel Brad. There's only a few people I want to always be happy, and Tom Brady is one of them.
Dude, what's the matter with you, Scott? What are you doing?
It's really
sad.
You're
calling
I'm really sad.
I understand
you're
calling in on the special guest line to troll me about the Yankees, who did get swept, but did actually last two rounds longer than the Red Sox did. So, I mean, that's possible for you to do that, but I don't understand why you would say that about Tom Brady. I don't get it.
Listen, Red Sox, they've played more golf than the guys on the Live Tour by now. I mean, but the fact is, as far as Brady goes, he's skipping walkthroughs to go to Bob Kraft's wedding. Then he has the balls to yell at his offensive line when they were actually at practice when he wasn't. You know, he's selling everything under the sun. You know, I do feel badly for him that his, personal life doesn't seem to be going as well as you might hope, but it's just weird that, it's just a weird thing. I think, some of the great as he was in Boston, he wasn't as relatable or connectable as a person as some of the other great players we've had here. And it's just kind of weird when I was listening to the game when I was driving yesterday on satellite radio, and it was kind of fun to listen to them lose to a team with no back, no coach.
Look at this. Scott.
Yeah, that's a New England Boston narrative.
I got it.
Stop listening to Felger on the radio, Scott.
Well, he's definitely not doing that anyway. I don't think so.
Doing that. But Chris, when Pedro came and pitched against the Red Sox for the Mets and he got crushed, I was devastated. I left the ballpark so upset. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a weird thing. I usually, when players leave, Nomar, guys I've really enjoyed watching all these years.
Except for Johnny Damon.
Wade Boggs. How about Wade Boggs? Do you like him?
No.
No? On the horseback? That's how it all started. All right, Scotty. You there? Did I lose you? Hey, Scotty, take care of yourself. Say hi to everybody. I'm sorry about Syracuse this weekend. Sorry about them.
Yeah. Bye, John.
All right, there you go. That's my brother-in-law, Scott.
I think it's a bummer.
The very anti-Brady take.
I don't take any joy in seeing Brady like that. And then the whole thing, going to Bob Kraft, you want him not to go to Bob Kraft's wedding? And he's not, yes, the clip is him screaming at him, but he's actually telling them, hey, you're better than this. It's weird encouragement. He's just screaming. That's just a weird Boston media kind of piling on because Tom's in the dumps right now. I'm not here for that. I want Tom to be happy and be successful, and I'm not going to pile on.
Yeah, and I'm also not here for the, Belichick's winning the divorce conversation that I'm hearing out of that part of the country as well. There's
stupid.
Still a trophy in that case.
Yeah, how can you even say that he won?
I know. And plus, it's all good. By the way, they're both going to go to the Hall of Fame together. That's it.
Yeah.
They're both going to be in that room.
We'll talk.
And by the way, tonight, Bill Belichick has a chance to be second all-time on the wins list for NFL head coaches. He can pass George Halas tonight against the Bears. And in advance of that, as part of my duties for pregame and halftime host of Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football, as I will do tonight, got a chance to Zoom with none other than Matt Judon, now here on the Rich Eisen Show. Joining us here prior to Monday Night Football against the Chicago Bears is one of the top defenders in this entire league here from the New England Patriots. He is Matthew Judon. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Rich?
What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Just media and all that stuff. You know how it is after practice.
I do know that. I do know that. And here you are, and I appreciate you doing this here prior to Monday Night Football. So what is your take on this Chicago Bears offense that so many folks are just kind of looking past right now, Matthew?
Oh, well, you can't really look past them because they have one of the top run games in the league. They have two backs that's performing very well. And, it doesn't matter. They're down the distance. If they get it, they can make an explosive run. And then they also have a quarterback that's learning, but he's learning fast. He's maturing in front of our eyes, and he's making a lot of good football plays with the ball.
And what is Belichick telling you? He spent 7 minutes of his opening press conference this week talking up the Bears like they were the 85 Bears. So what is he telling you?
He telling us about the Bears. He's telling us we can't take this team lightly. no matter what their record says, they're a better football team than their record. And we have to come out and be prepared. So we're preparing as if they are the 85 Bears, but this team is a very good football team.
By the way, I just so you're aware, I spoke to Belichick. He has given you full carte blanche to tell me who the starting quarterback is and tell me your entire game plan.
Okay, so we're gonna come out and behind center. It's gonna be I have no clue, and the starting offense. It's gonna be I don't know what they're doing. All I know is on Monday night I will be ready and. Okay. And that I'll be playing. So if that's news to anybody.
Okay, that's good. So you're taking care of your own business. Exactly. I like that. Exactly. I like that very much. So, you know, one thing I do know about last week in Cleveland is that Belichick did what he frequently does when the team goes to Cleveland, which is stop the bus and get out and see the Jim Brown statue. Is that true? He did that again with you guys?
Yeah, well, not only did he talk about Jim Brown and did we stop to see the Jim Brown statue, he talked about the other guys, the other men that carry a lot of social justice along with them throughout those years that a lot of people of color was not looked upon as football players or equals. And so he talked about everybody else that's up in that that stadium and it just gave us a history lesson. You know, Coach is a big history buff and he probably knows everything or anything about football. And he gave us a history lesson. Like some of those guys who were the first men to play collegiate sports as African-Americans. And then everything that Jim Brown did for football and everything that Ozzie Newsome did as a player and as a GM. And I was just how he was talking about those guys. And I was just honored that I got to meet Ozzie and I have an actual relationship with him because I was with him in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And so just kind of being at that stadium, I think means a lot for Coach Belichick. And he just want to pass some information down for us and just allow us to appreciate very, very, very like tough beginnings to where we are now.
Was that the Belichick you thought of before you came to New England? I mean,
No. I didn't know him personally at all. I knew him from media and I knew him from an outsider perspective. And I really didn't know too many people that actually played for him, honestly. And then, you know, I'm with the Ravens, so
yeah,
we don't like them and we don't like the Patriots. But getting here and actually getting to know Coach Belichick is a whole 360. And you know, you can believe the hype, you cannot believe the hype, but I think he is every bit of a good man that he is a good coach. And you can see that he's a great coach from his wins, but every bit of a good man that he is, every win that he has, I think he gives so much credit to his players, every player that he has. And I think he just loves the game so much that he spends so much time on it. And he spends so much time with like just guys around football. But then when it's not about football, when it's about like social justice or things of that nature, he's willing to talk and he's also willing to listen. And he's also willing to be a part of some things that he really doesn't have to do because what he does is so great.
It's fascinating. I mean, plus his look, you've been around some great ones too, some really good coaches, I'm sure, throughout your entire journey to this very point, to this very interview here, Matt Judon. And, you know, it he just, Belichick just has the ability to just drill down, right? And that you guys are just focused on these four quarters of this week. And then once that's done, it's the next and then the next and then the next. And I know all coaches try to achieve that. I'm wondering what you can share about what you have experienced in your couple of years now for that sort of laser lock focus. Your team's 3-3 with a third string quarterback who's not playing like it. Your defense is playing as good as any defense in the NFL right now. What can you share as the special sauce on what could be a big night for your coach to pass George Halas on the all-time wins list against the Bears?
I think the biggest secret is that he keeps it simple. And I think he tells you the keys to winning the game. These are the keys to winning this game. Look, we have to focus on this. We have to drill on this. And we have to live by this when we play this game. And if we don't, we'll lose. And every week, if we don't hit those goals and if we don't do it kind of exactly what he says, you'll go back in the film and it's not him telling you, well, I told you so. It's, okay, we're going to watch this film. And then that's going to tell us how we lost this game. And then when we go back and watch the film, it's exactly how he tells us how we would have won the game or how we would have lost the game. And so with him doing that, and it's week in, it's week out, it's not just one time or it's not just, it doesn't happen by fluke. It happens by so many countless hours of him watching film and breaking down opponents and watching every single player and knowing every single player's strengths and weaknesses and what they like to do. And so with him just being a football buff like that, it allows us to play fast because he already told us the keys to winning the game. And so we just have to go out there and execute those.
Have you spoken to the young man who attempted to give the ball he recovered on special teams to Bill? Have we addressed this issue, your rookie teammate?
Yeah, Schooler. We talked to Schooler. We kind of joke about it, but he was just like, he was like, I didn't know what to do with the ball, and so you know, coach be locked in, man. He probably. In that moment, coach probably didn't even, like, he was probably like, what the heck is this? He didn't even probably know it was the ball he recovered. And so he probably had no clue what he was doing.
Was there a moment in a film session this week where this has been front and center that you can share with us?
No. We talked about it on the bus in the locker room, but kept it lighthearted. Like, Schooler's a good dude, and he was very, like, he laughed about it as well.
I would do the same thing. Hey, look what I got. You know, look, coach, look what I got.
Man, Coach B be so locked in. He be so locked into the game and, like, kind of the situation going on. He don't really be locked in on, like, the antics. Like, you know, that's for us players.
So last one for you, Matt Judon. So what does Monday Night Football mean to you here? Like, you can get above 500, go win your third in a row, and show the country that your defense is as advertised here against the Bears.
Yeah. What it means is another opportunity to showcase our talents, whether that's offense, defense, or special team. Whatever you're doing, you can showcase your talents, but this time everybody's watching, you know. Everybody in the country's watching. Nobody's like, oh, I don't get that game because in my local game or this. Everybody's watching, and we know that. And so it's our time to go out there and prove that what we're working on and what we're building around here right now is not a facade. And so that's what we have to go and do.
What'd you get RKK for his wedding? What'd you get Robert Kraft for his wedding?
I can't tell you that.
But you did get him something, right? You did get him something.
Yeah, man. He's a good guy.
Well, I mean, he signs the checks. I figure, you know, what do you get a man for his wedding? And when he sees,
you know, I haven't seen the check in a while. You know, I'm a direct deposit baby. You know, you know, digital era. We ain't seen the check.
he's the one you give the routing number to. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I guess, yeah. I mean,
yeah, you yeah I mean, gotta get him something nice.
Get him something from Tiffany. It's about this big, you know, and it looks like a football on the top. You know, mm-hmm. It's got a football on the top and a base, and you hand it to him with confetti around. That's what you get him.
I think they pass it to him first. I think I'll be receiving it from him.
That's right. Hey, thanks for the time. Have a great Monday Night Football game. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Always appreciate chatting.
Yes, sir.
Matt Judon, right here on the program.
Love that guy.
He was terrific.
He's awesome.
What a great chat.
What a great football player.
Check him out tonight on Monday Night Football. And this season, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, Thanksgiving, and Christmas triple headers, the International Series in every postseason game. When we come back, postseason baseball has hit its crescendo. We have a World Series matchup. We'll discuss how we got there and what happens now when we come back to send you to the rest of your Monday.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
So my youngest son, Cooper, sometimes I'll hear him in the backyard just running around and talking in a high-pitched voice. And I look at him and I'm like, yeah, I did that when I was a kid. What is he doing? He's calling his action.
Mm-hmm.
And he's imagining in his head the glory that he is just taking part in the backyard.
We've I all hear been that, there,
right?
Man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I see him do it and it's awesome. I love it. And that's what I thought of when I saw Bryce Harper go yard. And I even showed it to Coop. I'm like, look, this is what maybe Bryce was dreaming of in his backyard when he was a kid. In Philadelphia, his team down by one run, but up 3-1 in the National League Championship Series. Yeah. All I got to do is win one more and they're in the World Series. And he hits a 2-run shot to give him the lead in front of the whole fan base that just went absolutely nuts. Joe Davis with a terrific call on Fox saying
Joe Davis
this
awesome.
Called it the swing of his life. And it was over this weekend. It was the anniversary on, I believe it was Sunday, of the Joe Carter home run where the fan,
right?
You know, like touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
Yep.
And it's great. And I get goosebumps talking about it.
Yeah.
Right. And put Philadelphia in the World Series. Put Philadelphia in the World Series. Bryce Harper had this to say about that moment after the game.
I told Kalong before I walked up the steps, I said, let's give him something to remember. You know, just that moment. I mean, just being able to do it at home. I didn't want to get back on that flight to San Diego. I just didn't want to get on a 5.5-hour flight. You know, I wanted to hang out at home and enjoy this at home with these fans, with this organization, this fan base.
There you go.
I think the cool thing, too, in the moment, it's almost like he left his body. He didn't really celebrate that much. He did the Phillies thing that he's been doing.
Yeah.
But he was walking around the bases, and even in the dugout talking to Ken Rosenthal afterward, he was just kind of like, even he was saying, I can't believe I just did that.
The crazy thing is, if you asked of all football fans how many Super Bowls Ed Reed won with the Ravens, they'd say 2. They think he was on that first Ravens championship team back in 2000. He was not. Bryce Harper was not on the Washington Nationals championship team. This is his first trip to the World Series.
Yeah.
And he's taken on an Astros team. Now, you know, you mentioned Kevin Long, the hitting coach, and Rob Thompson is the interim manager who Joe Girardi brought in. Those are all the guys that were in New York with Girardi for all those years. So it would have been fascinating to see the Yankees versus Phillies in a rematch of a World Series, the last one the Yankees won, if the Yankees didn't strike out 50 times and getting swept. The Astros absolutely dismantled the Yankees. You know, Bob Costas called the Astros the Yankees' daddy. He's not wrong. This is the truth. It hurts. It hurts so damn bad. It hurts so damn bad to watch this. Certainly when the Yankees took a 3-0 lead and then Harrison Bader gave them another lead and then they won again. Jeremy Peña is amazing. He's exactly amazing. The type of player that every team needs and wants. And they already have some terrific players. They deserve it. And to see them celebrate in New York really killed me. To see Ted Cruz's smug face leaving the sixth inning as well really infuriated me as well. Just seeing all that just was infuriating completely as a New Yorker. And hopefully the Yankees bottle that and figure out a way to create a team that will beat this team, because the one that they have ain't it.
Sucking.
Yeah. Well, only way to say it.
You know, I mean, I don't agree with that, Mike, but, you know, the Yankees do have a team that won 99 games, and they just don't have a team that can beat the Astros. And I don't know if they've got the right general manager or the manager for it. I mean, my brother-in-law called in earlier. I mean, Gerrit Cole over the weekend, he's your guy. You're down 2-0. It's the sixth inning. You're down 2-0 because of a ridiculous error that occurred in center field and then a home run right after that. Cole is pitching really well, but the bases are loaded in the sixth inning. You're going to remove him for what? What are you doing? And you don't even put your closer in or your two best relievers in, as he did last night, Wandy Peralta. You put in Lou Trevino. As Cole, you know, Cole was biting his lips after the game, saying, you know, I still had more to give. Like, yeah, you go with your guy until he won't go anymore.
Off in that point, right?
I don't know what Boone is thinking. I don't know what Cashman's thinking. I don't know what any of them are thinking. All I know is that's not the team that can beat the Astros. And Judge, I hope, sticks around, because, man, do I love watching him play. Man, do I love watching him play. But the Astros are easily the best team in the American League. They're light years ahead of the Yankees in this current version of the Yankees. And it'll be an interesting series. Fascinatingly enough, in the Thursday off night of this World Series, do you know who plays on Thursday night football? Houston and Philadelphia.
Really?
Yeah. Eagles and Texans play on the Thursday of...
Next week.
The Thursday off of the World Series that begins this coming Friday.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So the NFL is going to have their own Houston versus Philadelphia matchup.
Yeah.
Unless one team sweeps the other. And just a counsel to all my New York friends, who we're all excited about the Jets and the Giants. Mets and the Yankees looked like they were going to face each other in the World Series. And right now, one team went out checking the opposing pitcher's ears, and the other team went out with the manager lamenting exit velocity not strong enough for an incoming wind that aided the other team's home run ball, as if that was the difference in either of those playoff losses. So let's be careful. Or enjoy what we have while we have it. How about that? But man, that hurt. That hurt. Because the Yankees weren't even in the same universe as this Astros team.
They're good.
I know.
They're so good.
And as far as New Yorkers, we're all Phillies fans now. How about that? Never thought I would say that into a mic.
Get me a cheese.
Back on Roku to wrap things up in a moment.
Ross Matthews talks to celebrities, friends, and people with interesting stories to tell. Who's saying hello, Ross, this week? Chelsea Handler.
I'm not home enough to have a third dog. My housekeeper basically is their parent. I'm not going to get another dog so that she has to take care of another dog until one of these dogs exits.
It's a good move. I have 3 rescue dogs and only 2 hands. And when you're one person, that's too hard to do. I recommend 2 max, okay?
Use your foot, Ross.
Hello, Ross. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen.